morning to turn to the 110th Psalm, Psalm 110. We'll read the first three verses. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. This is a psalm of David. We're told that in the inscription, but also Christ declared that this is a psalm of David. Notice in Matthew chapter 22, verses 43 through 44, he saith unto them, How doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So the Lord Jesus Christ ascribes this psalm to David. The subject of the psalm is the deity of Jesus Christ, and Jesus, of course, is presented as king in the psalm. The psalm begins with the ascension of Christ, and Peter makes reference to that. Notice in Acts chapter 2, verses 34 and 35, For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand. Notice, David is not ascended into the heavens. He's talking about the ascension of Christ. So the psalm begins with the ascension of Christ. And Peter, the writer of Hebrews also makes reference to this in Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 12 and verse 13. But the psalm moves from the ascension of Christ to the coming of Christ to the earth, and we see that in Psalm 110 and verse 2. So what the psalm is talking about is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And the consequences of this millennial reign is seen in verse 3, Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And the thought of the message we want to take from verse 3, Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. We learn from those words that God has a people. We also learn from those words that God possesses power. And we also learn from those words that there is such a thing as a day of his power. And that such has a definite impact, a pronounced effect upon his people. That is, they shall be willing in the day of thy power. And though this has direct reference to the millennial reign of Christ, and it certainly speaks of the effectual call that goes out to the elect of God, there is application to you and I today, and that's how, of course, we want to use this scripture today. These words are just as true today, Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power as they will be in the millennial reign. We want to speak today on God's power unveiled. God's power unveiled. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Consider the meaning of those words. First of all, God has power. Notice it is thy power. Thy strength, thy might, thy force, thy power. It is thy power, so much so that he declares in Genesis 17 and verse 1, I am the Almighty God. And he has referred to such 70 times in the Word of God. The Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. We read those words and we know that He is the possessor of all might. But those words go beyond the fact that He is the possessor of all might. I am the Almighty God. Those words declare He is all might. He not only possesses all might, He is all might. In other words, Almighty is who He is. God and power are inseparable. They're, you cannot separate them. And Jesus said in Mark 14 and verse 62 that He would sit on the right hand of power. And in Mark 16 and verse 9 He declared He sat on the right hand of God. So the right hand of God and the right hand of power is one and the same. You cannot separate power from God. God's power is Himself. We read in Jeremiah 32 and verse 17 of His great power. How great is God's power? It is as great as Himself. It is as great, it is as magnificent as Himself. And therefore it is referred to in Romans 1 and verse 20 as His eternal power. God's power, again, is Himself, and therefore, it's got to be infinite. His power is infinite. His power is incomprehensible. And His works only manifest a small part of His power. Now you think about all the works of God, and that is only a small portion of His power. Job 26 and verse 14, lo, these are parts of His ways. But how little a portion is heard of Him. But the power, the thunder of His power, who can understand? These are only parts of His power. And we cannot understand, we cannot fully grasp the power of God, just as we cannot fully grasp the person of God. It is declared in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 12 concerning God, in thine hand is power and might. We read in 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 8, for God hath power to help and to cast down. Psalm 62 and verse 11, power belongeth unto God. So this power is not derived from any other source. I am the Almighty God. God does not need means. God uses means, but He does not need means because God is all power. So all of creation is an evidence of His power. But again, it's only a small part of His power. We read throughout Genesis chapter 1, God said and it was so. That's power. But it's only a small part of His power. Psalm 33 and verse 9, He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. But again, that's only a small part of His power. All the works of nature, all are miracles of His power. The way nature works are all miracles of the power of God. And David was awestruck by such there in Psalm 19 and verse 1. But again, all the works of nature, that's only a small part of the power of God. The government of creation, God's government of creation, is evidence of His power. We read in Job 38 and verse 11 concerning the waters of the seas. Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waters be stayed. You stand on the ocean, and the waves come up, and they stop at a certain point, and they go back. What stops them there? God does. That's God governing the waves. And this is what He's talking about in Job 38 and verse 11. So, the governing power of God. But again, that's only a small part of His power. He governs the motions of all. In Acts 17 and verse 28, in Him we live and move and have our being. But again, that's only a small part of His power. The salvation of sinners is no doubt the greatest evidence of His power. Concerning salvation, we read in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, concerning the saved, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It takes the power of God to save a sinner. But again, that's only a small part of His power. In salvation, a dead sinner passes from death unto life, and it's the power of God that brings that about. But again, it's only a small part of His power. Every single day of our lives, all around us are the reminders, I am the Almighty God. We also read here in Psalm 110 and verse 3, we read of Thy power. But we read that there is a day of Thy power. There is a day of His power. And that no doubt has reference to something very special. Something very extraordinary. A day of Thy power. A day, of course, is a specific time. The day of Thy power is a specific time of visitation from God. It is a special time, a specific time of revelation and manifestation of the power of God. The day of His power is when God visits or comes upon His people with strength, with might, with energy, with ability. We can sing, we can preach, we can teach, we can talk about God's power, and people will still remain slothful, cold, and indifferent. But a day of God's power changes everything. Changes everything. A visitation, a revelation, a manifestation of the power of God changes everything. You can take all the ideas and all the programs and all the skills of man and combine them all together, and they will not accomplish what one day of God's power will accomplish. And the Word of God is filled with examples of God revealing His power in such a way that it made a difference, in such a way that it changed circumstances, in such a way that it made a difference in people's lives and changed people. And that's what a day of His power does. Now just consider God calling Noah, calling upon Noah to build an ark. That was a day of God's power. God bringing Noah and his family into the ark was a day of God's power. God calling Abraham was a day of God's power. Sarah's conception was a day of God's power. God appearing to Jacob and transforming Jacob was a day of God's power. God calling Moses from the burning bush was a day of God's power. God bringing the Israelites to the shores of the Red Sea and causing the Red Sea to go this way and this way and allowing Israel to cross on dry ground was a day of God's power. God leading the Egyptians into the Red Sea and causing the waves to go this way and this way, drowning the Egyptians, was a day of God's power. God bringing water out of a rock was a day of God's power. God turning the bitter waters of Marah, making them sweet, was a day of God's power. And all of this is just a part of his power. Israel, God bringing Israel across the Jordan River, and God bringing down the walls of Jericho. This was a day of God's power. God using the ravens to feed Elijah was a day of God's power. God using the widow woman of Zarephath to and filling her barrel with meal, sustaining Elijah, was a day of God's power. Elijah upon Mount Carmel and God sending fire from heaven was a day of God's power. God increasing the widow's oil was a day of God's power. God walking with the Hebrews in the fiery furnace without them being burnt and without them having even the smell of smoke upon them was a day of God's power. God shutting the mouths of the lions in Daniel's day was a day of God's power. Christ turning water into wine was a day of God's power. Christ feeding over 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fishes was a day of God's power. Christ standing in the apostle storm and talking to the wind and saying, "Peace be still," was a day of God's power. Christ healing the nobleman's son. Christ healing the lepers. Christ healing the paralytic that was brought down, lowered through the roof. Christ healing the lame. Christ healing the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. Christ restoring the withered hand of a man. Christ healing the centurion's servant. Christ liberating the demon-possessed man of Gadara. Christ healing the woman who had a blood disease for 12 years. Christ straightening the woman who was bent double for 18 years. Christ healing Bartimaeus. All of these are days of God's power. They were special manifestations of the power of God. But every single one of them is only a portion of God's power. We rejoice today that God is almighty. We rejoice today that power belongeth unto God. And we rejoice today that God's power is greater than our problems. God's power is greater than our trials, greater than our difficulties, greater than all of our enemies, and greater than all of our needs. And we rejoice in what we read in Ephesians 1 and verse 19 of the exceeding greatness of His power to usward. We rejoice in all of those things, that He has power, that He is Almighty God. But we read here of this day of God's power. And there ought to be a longing for the day of His power. For those special times when God shows forth so all can see, so no one can deny God's power. We ought to long and plead for an outpouring of the power of God that would overcome sinful, wretched, rotten flesh. We ought to long for that day. We ought to pray that we would experience a day of God's power that would overcome self, that would overcome our flesh. Nothing else will do. You can have all kinds of ideas about what to do concerning the flesh. Nothing else will do. But a special visitation of God's power. In these days, when you and I are surrounded on all sides by the filth and the vileness, the wickedness, the abomination, and the blasphemy, and the heresy of those who hate God, there is an urgent need of an outpouring of the power of God that would restore faith in God's people, that would strengthen faith in God's people, Again, the apostles prayed, Lord, increase our faith. You and I cannot increase our faith. But a day of God's power that would increase our faith, we ought to long for that. We ought to long for a day of God's power that would restore and strengthen our love for Him. That would restore and strengthen our resolve and our zeal and the passion of the people of God. There is a desperate need for an outpouring of the power of God to awaken us, to lift us up, to stir the people of God, all for a day of God's power. We live in perilous times. Notice familiar passage, 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also, it's important that we know this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-bakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, betrayers, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. There are many problems listed in those verses. And every one of those problems can be fixed by a day of God's power. Oh, how we need and how we ought to long, fervently pleading to God for a day of His power. In these days when so many of God's people are drunk with the pleasures and the cares of life, we need an outpouring of the power of God that would sober up God's people. God's power can sober up drunk minds. And there are many drunk minds today. We, of course, we don't drink, we don't get drunk on alcohol, but many of God's people are drunk. They are drunk. They are drunk on the world's ways. They are drunk with the pleasures of life. And being drunk, they do not think right. Being drunk, they do not see clearly. But a day of God's power, oh, how we ought to long for such, to sober up the minds of God's people. In this day when the minds of many of God's people are clouded with the philosophies and the reasonings of the world, we again desperately need an outpouring of the power of God that would clear and that would restore the minds of God's people. A manifestation of God's power that would not allow us to be in tune with this world. We all ought to pray, God, do not allow me, whatever it takes. God, do not allow me to be in tune with this world. Do not allow me to march to the beat of this world. Prevent us from bowing to the idols of this wicked world. And there are many today of God's people who are in tune with the world. They're more in tune with the world than they are God. And they march more to the beat of the world than they do God. And they do bow to the idols of this world. But oh, for a day of God's power that would stop all of that. amongst the people of God. In these days when so many are in a state of spiritual decline, a state of spiritual coldness and apathy and emptiness, a state of distance from God, a state of detachment from God, we again so desperately need the power of God that would upend lives. Oh, for a day of His power that would just turn lives upside down. You see, a lot of people today, God's people, they say they want to serve Him, but they're not willing for their lives to be turned upside down. We need God's power to turn upside down lives, drawing us to Him and bringing personal and lasting change. A day of His power brings change. In these days of a Laodicean spirit of pride and indifference, oh, how we ought to long, how we ought to plead for a visitation, for a manifestation, for a revelation, for an outpouring of God's power that would hurt our self-esteem. You and I will never serve God protecting our self-esteem. We need the power of God to hurt our self-esteem and disturb our comfort zones. Oh, for a day of God's power. In these days when so many of God's people are living their lives in the bondage, in the tyranny and the oppression, and under the absolute domination of an enemy power, and so many are held in the clutches of evil, oh, how we ought to long and how we ought to plead for an outpouring of the power of God that would break the shackles and bring liberation of heart and mind and life. Only the power of God can accomplish these things. In these days when many of God's people are entangled in the affairs of this life, we ought to long and we ought to plead for an outpouring of the power of God that would untangle the webs that we weave. And I said webs that we weave. You can watch it. You can watch people just weave their web that they're going to be trapped in. How foolish. But we do it all the time. We have webs of our own making. And we're entangled in them. And all for a day of God's power that would just tear away all the webs that God's people are entangled in. In these days when so many of God's people are absolutely saturated with that which is contrary, that which is in opposition to God, that which is a hindrance to spiritual growth and progress, that which disrupts a meaningful relationship with God, that which keeps us from receiving the message of God, keeps us from receiving what God has for us. In this day when so many are saturated with that which quenches and grieves the Spirit of God, oh, how we ought to long. Oh, how we ought to plead for a day of God's power that would cast to dust all of these things that are a hindrance in our lives. How many of us today are willing to ask God, everything that is a hindrance in my life, Lord, remove it. Make it dust. Remove it. We ought to want it bad enough. Where we are willing to ask God to remove anything in our lives that is a hindrance. In these days when sin has taken a foothold in the lives of so many of God's people, again, we need an outpouring of the power of God that will bring conviction concerning sin. And what do I mean by conviction? I mean the power of God that would immediately drive God's people to their knees, confessing their own sin before God.
Oh, we need that today. Nothing else will do. Talks will not do. Conversations will not do. What we need is the power of God to sweep through and drive us to our knees, confessing our sin, causing us to forsake our sin, to turn from our sin, and to flee from our sin. All for a day of God's power. We read here in our text, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." So this day of God's power, this day of an outpouring of the power of God, has a life-changing impact upon us as individuals. Thy people. We ought to thank God that He has a people. Thy people shall be willing. When? In the day of thy power. Oh, how we ought to long. How we ought to plead for an outpouring of the power of God that would make us willing. That would make us willing to learn and to receive the truth of God. That would make us so willing to learn that we hunger for the knowledge of God's Word. The power of God to come down to make us willing to follow Him at all times and in all places. Because many of God's people today are not willing to follow God. It's not just simply that they don't follow God, they're not even willing to follow God. That would make us willing to submit. For the power of God that would bring us to our knees, making us willing to submit and bow before Him in all things. Whatever it is that comes into our lives, that God's power would cause us to bow before Him in all things. We need the power of God to make us willing to wait upon the Lord. That would make us willing to be what He would have us to be. That would make us willing to pray. To make us willing to pray. We ought to be praying. I mean, if we really believe that we are in these last days, we ought to be praying. We ought to be praying now more than we ever have. Come tomorrow, we ought to pray more than we ever have then. If we make it to Tuesday, it just ought to be increasing, increasing, increasing. But all for the power of God that would make us willing, that would cause us to pray, that would make us willing to worship God in God's ways, and that's the only way you can worship. That would make us willing to give all to God. That would make us willing to be right with God, no matter what it takes. That we would simply be willing, I want to be right. I want to be right with God. That ought to be the desire of every child of God. I want to be right with God. And tomorrow I want to be more right with God. Oh, for God's power to make us willing, to give us the want to be right with God. For God's power to fill us with an appetite for God, an appetite for the things of God, for God's power to come down and give us the excitement and the passion and the zeal for God. We desperately need the day of His power, an unveiling, a revealing, an outpouring of the power of God. And we can all think of individuals Oh, yes, so-and-so, oh, I wish the power of God would come upon their lives. And that's a good thing to desire. But first and foremost, we ought to desire for the power of God to come upon our own life. To come upon our own life. That would make us willing to pray for one another. To make us willing to serve one another. To make us willing to die to self. We need a manifestation of the power of God. We need a day of God's power. Again, people today, they talk about wanting revival, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think most of God's people really want revival. Not the kind of revival that God sends. They want a revival that they picture in their minds. They want a revival when they see 100 people coming down the aisle. That's what they want. But they really don't want a real revival. Most of God's people don't want it. Most of God's people don't even know what it is, so they can't want it. When God upends and disturbs lives. You see, God's people today, they want a revival that brings no disturbance of their soul. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. They want a revival that does not bring change to their own life. There is no such thing. Oh, how we ought to long for a day of His power. Notice, and we'll close, in Psalm 93. Psalm 93, verses 3 and verse 4. The floods have lifted up. O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. That's a threatening time. Verse 4. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yea, than the mighty waters or the mighty waves of the sea. We live in threatening times. Threats are all around us. But don't ever forget, the Lord is still on high. And the Lord on high is mightier than anything you and I will ever experience in this life. But oh, for a day of thy power, when God's people are made willing to be, to do whatever it is the Lord commands. For a day of His power to cause us to be willing to set aside all of our plans and all of our ideas and all of our thoughts and just lay it all at the feet of the Lord, completely surrendering, completely submitting to the Lord. I'll tell you what a lot of marriages need today is a day of God's power to come down upon them. What a lot of homes need today, what we all need as individuals, what we need as churches, is a day of God's power. We have a mess. This world is a mess. And it is a mess that only God's power can fix. He's the only one. So, oh, how we ought to long for a day of God's power. Every day, plead with God, show me. Show me your power. Show me your power today in a special way. That'll change me. That'll change me. That's where we need to begin. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song. Let's all stand.